And treasury for all. The sin of property we do disdain. No man has any right to buy and sell the earth for private gain. By theft and murder they took the land. Now everywhere the walls spring up at their command.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. This is a special edition of the Nobody Show dedicated to the crisis of Pacifica. If you're just at Pacifica, if you're just tuning in, this is preempting your regular programming. On the line, I have Jeff Blankfort, who is a Bay Area activist with the Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica, and as he points out, that's small d democratic. Jeff, you've prepared a petition. You want to read that on the air?
Right. This petition has been already circulated at the Joan Baez concert. We were able to get 400 signatures. No one refused, and here it is. We, the undersigned listeners and supporters of KPFA and advocates of free speech radio, firmly believe that since the Pacifica Foundation preaches democracy, it should practice democracy. We believe that the present conflict between Pacifica and KPFA is a consequence of Pacifica's undemocratic structure, with the members of its self-selected, self-perpetuating governing board being accountable to no one but themselves. The current board has clearly demonstrated its willingness to destroy the nation's first listener-sponsored radio station in direct opposition to Pacifica's founding principles, openly defying the attempts by staff and listeners to defend those principles. We demand that Pacifica return to those principles, namely the first democratic elections. We demand that the members of the Pacifica National Board, as well as local station advisory boards, be elected by the subscribers and staffs of the network's five stations and be accountable to them, and that the mechanisms to implement this demand be developed within Pacifica's respective communities. To commence this process, we demand the immediate resignation of the Pacifica National Board and the firing of Executive Director Lynn Chadwick. We demand that the unwritten gag rule or dirty laundry rule that has been used to punish staff members for discussing KPFA's conflict with Pacifica on the air be formally eliminated, and the termination of all staff members from KPFA and Pacifica's member stations who have lost their programs for exercising free speech be immediately and publicly rescinded. We demand that the actions by the Pacifica Foundation to enlarge its operations at the expense of the member stations by taking an ever-increasing percentage of listener contributions, now at 17.2%, be returned to single-digit levels and the size of its staff reduced accordingly. To ensure that KPFA and its sister stations be the voice of the voiceless, we demand that deliberate efforts be made to reach out to all communities underserved or ignored by the mainstream media with a view toward securing their re-involvement in station programming and operations. We believe that those who produce the programs are what gives KPFA and Pacifica their essential value, and that an equitable balance should be established between management and staff salaries. Embracing KPFA as a radio station and Pacifica as a network that was founded and has survived on contributions from its listeners, we demand an end by Pacifica to any attempts to secure donations from corporate foundations and become, quote, players and partners, players in the same field as NPR, end quote. That's from a strategy for national programming published by Pacifica in September of 1992. And finally, the present crisis can be directly linked to Pacifica's close ties to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which in 1998 provided Pacifica with $1,137,083, for which KPFA received $244,929. The CPB's collusion with Pacifica was instrumental in forcing a recent bylaw change which eliminated local representation, station representation on the Pacifica National Board. Moreover, CPB has blocked listeners' efforts to open Pacifica's board and committee meetings to the public. We demand that Pacifica end this corrupting relationship with the CPB, and that's it. And if you would like to sign this petition, get a hold of a copy, download it. Will be uploaded probably tomorrow on the Radio for All website, radio4all.org/freepacifica, and you can mail the finished petition, signed petitions, to the Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica, 499 Alabama Street, number 221, San Francisco, California, 94110.
Jeff, thank you very much. I want to thank you very much for reading that and for being on this special broadcast.
My pleasure.
Great. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
All right, on the line, I have Doug Knoll. Mr. Knoll is a lawyer. He's also someone who's been very active in peacemaking projects. He's the president of the Fresno Free College Foundation, which owns Pacifica affiliate KFCF. And also on the line, I have Dan Siegel, who is an attorney in private practice in Oakland, California, and he is the attorney for the plaintiffs suing Pacifica to overturn the bylaw changes made by Pacifica's board of directors that basically voted themselves into power. Gentlemen, both of you, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Thank you, Nobody.
Thank you, Nobody. Doug Knoll here.
Doug, let me start with you. You have been, KFCF has almost been a repeater station for KPFA, meaning you've almost carried all of their broadcasting on your station as well. Is that still the case?
As we see, as we're talking this moment, no.
Yes.
As we were talking as of last Tuesday night, yes. We are not a repeater station. We are a fully licensed FCC, non-commercial radio station on frequency 88.1 FM. Serving the greater Central Valley. Our broadcast range extends over about a third of California, so we have a huge broadcast range.
I don't mean technically repeater, but I mean you've carried a lot of their programs.
That's correct. We carry, I would say that up until last week, our approximate ratio was 85% KPFA and 15% local programming.
Mm-hmm. And what is the status now? Why are you not doing that anymore?
Well, we don't have KPFA programming anymore. What we have is garbage. And it's our position that with our contract with KPFA that if KPFA programming is not provided to us, then we have no choice but to find alternatives, and that's exactly what we're doing.
And is this out of disillusionment with management? Is this because you are not supporting management?
We are not supporting Pacifica. If you referred to Pacifica as management. We are not
supporting the
Pacifica Foundation. The board of directors is in total solidarity with the staff on this. We believe that the changes and the outrageous events that have occurred are absolutely inexcusable. And personally, I am offended that Pacifica did not bother to consult with us before they took these dramatic steps as they're required to do contractually.
But the point is, they've alienated you. You were some of their most loyal friends. You had a long-standing relationship with them.
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
And quite frankly, the communication I've had with Pacifica has been less than a four-minute telephone call with Ms. Chadwick, and I did not come away from that conversation comforted.
Okay. Dan, maybe the best hope is this lawsuit, but maybe it's not a good hope. What are the chances of winning in court?
I think our chances are very good, Nobody. We filed the lawsuit in which we pointed out very clearly to the court that the Pacifica Foundation acted illegally when they took away the rights of LABs, that is the five-station local advisory boards, to vote to choose members of the national board. Up until February of this year, it was very clear that each local advisory board had the right and the responsibility to elect two members to the national board. The 10 members elected to the national board as LAB representatives comprised two-thirds of the national board and ensured that there was some level of democratic decision-making at Pacifica. The act in February to take away that authority violated the California Corporations Code and violated Pacifica's charter.
What court is the suit in? Where does it stand now? In what part of the process?
Well, it's just at the beginning. We filed the case last Friday. It's in the process of being served on all the national board members. We will go through what people in law know as discovery for some months, requesting documents from Pacifica, taking the depositions of Mary Frances Berry, Lynn Chadwick, and the rest of the national board members. Once that's done, we'll simply ask the court for an injunction to reverse the bylaw changes. In addition, we are challenging Pacifica's misuse of their subscriber donations. Clearly, at a very simple level, the notion that they're taking subscriber donations and using them to hire security guards to put on this junk programming instead of the day-to-day live programming, not providing our friends in Fresno with the material that they've contracted for, is a violation of trust. We have filed a class action complaint on behalf of Pacifica subscribers, and if Pacifica's board doesn't come to its senses soon, they may find themselves in a situation where they have to start making refunds to people who contributed money to them.
All right, thank you. On the line, I also am joined now by Colin Fredericks. Let me say to my callers, by the way, I'll be getting to you soon. Thank you for your patience. Colin Fredericks, who is an undergraduate physics major at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute and is also the president of WRPI, the student-run station at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Mr. Fredericks put out an email or a copy of an email which he sent to the board at Pacifica that said, I'm not going to tell you how to run your station. What I am going to tell you is that unless we see a significant democratic process at Pacifica, unless there is an indication that everyone is both listening and speaking freely, unless the kind of high-quality, uncensored news work that we are used to seeing from Pacifica continues, WRPI will be reconsidering its broadcast of Pacifica programming. Colin Fredericks, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Hey, Nobody. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Colin, what is it you want to hear? What is it you need to hear to feel better about Pacifica? You're an affiliate. You're far from the action. But yet this seems to have reached the point where it's terribly bothering you, as it is other stations. What is it you need for them to do so that WRPI will feel better about carrying Pacifica broadcasting?
Well, let me give you a little bit of history on when I came into this. I was at work one day, and I tuned in Democracy Now! Because I had gotten there in time to listen to the whole thing. And it was the broadcast on the 14th, which is one that, from what I gather, a lot of stations didn't even get the whole program of. And it was all about what had happened at KPFA. And it really worried me. I heard about someone being dragged away by armed guards, and I heard about a person who was broadcasting it being taken off the air immediately, and so I went out and I did a little research, and the more I heard about it, the less I liked it. The thing that's been annoying me the most is the treatment of the protesters. I've heard that some of the protesters have been beaten and taken away. I've heard that there have been some hirings of rather disreputable people to enforce the policies of the management there, and to put it bluntly, I'd never do that at the station. It really scares me when people start doing stuff like that. It worries me that the management at Pacifica will start dictating to the on-air people, you will be saying this about this person.
Well, let me say this, Colin. It's a veteran from the 60s. You know, people say the campuses are too quiet, and I am particularly happy to see a student who's taking a stand on an issue of this importance. Let's go to the phones. Armin, I don't know where you're from. Armin, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Yeah, from Oakland. I wanted to comment that the Lynn Chadwick and the board and Mary Frances Berry refusing to respond to your call is characteristic of what they've been doing. I have a file of perhaps several score newspaper articles, and in most of them they say Pacifica did not return our calls. I also wanted to ask, so what we have is this clique that has taken power, retreating to their Fuhrer bunker and issuing orders to kill stations and issuing press releases.
Well, Armin, isn't it the most obvious thing in the world? And I'm trying to be just fair. I'm really just trying to be fair about this, but isn't it kind of obvious if you've got a point of view and you really believe in what you're doing and you can explain it to the public, you probably would be doing that and not refusing to answer calls?
Absolutely, but the most characteristic quality that we've seen in these people for the last month or two is cowardice. But let me ask my main question. Of Dan Siegel. It seems to me that there's as a non-attorney, it seems to me there's a prima facie case of criminal fraud here. In if they had a plan to change the stations and take them over to solicit most recently more than $500,000 in funds, and with the no intent of following through on the actual type of programming that people were contributing to, it seems to me that a lot of people have gone to jail for selling that kind of a deal in real estate and whatnot.
Well, you're exactly right, and obviously that's one of the things we'll be looking for when we take their depositions, is to find out exactly what they said to people and what their real intention was at the time.
Excellent.
Okay, let me thank you very much for the call, Armin. Thank you for participating.
Thanks.
Laura in Windsor, I guess that's Windsor, California. Welcome to the Nobody Show.
I'm very happy as a listener that this has happened because the programming had become old, tired, and stale, and maybe out of this we'll get some new voices who bring something of more zest and interest to the programs.
So does that mean that you're sympathetic with management and its desire to make changes there?
Yes.
Okay. And would you, as someone who is, and that's a legitimate point of view, as someone who felt the stations needed some changing, do you feel, how do you assess the way in which it's been handled? Do you think that's...
I don't like the way it's been handled, and I think it should have been done in a more orderly fashion. However, some of the individuals we deal with are not what you would call calm, reasonable, rational people. So, you know, there's fire coming from both sides, but it definitely needs to be shook up. The only difference between a groove and a rut and a grave is the depth of the thing, and obviously the program was going from groovy to in a rut to a total graveyard.
Anybody on my panel want to respond to that?
This is Doug Knoll speaking.
Please.
We have observed over 25 years a lot of ups and downs in programming at KPFA, from really bizarre to really disorganized to chaotic to pretty professional to just about everything under the sun. I understand that the programming changes that really started changing in about 18 months ago were as a result of a desire by Pacifica to mainstream the programming more, which is, and so the programming decisions now become a little more difficult at that level, because what is mainstream, what is not, what is old, what is tired, what is new, I mean, it's kind of all in the eyes of the beholder. The one thing that didn't change, though, at least up until last Tuesday, was that it was providing alternative perspectives and different viewpoints that you're not going to hear anybody anywhere else. And that's you know, people can take issue with the programming, but when you lose that essential element where people can't even get on the air and talk about fundamental issues of free speech, fundamental issues of what the station is all about and what the ideology of the station is all about, then we have serious problems. You know, I can't quibble about the programming as long as the underlying ideology is in place. But
Laura,
once that's removed, I got big problems.
Laura, I'd like to make a brief comment on that, too, which is, you know, the board has been uncommunicative, as I've already discussed. If they were going to try to change programming, and let's just say it needed changing for the sake of argument, I wish I knew what they were trying to do. I'm a broadcaster. I've got opinions about how programming ought to be. If there'd been a dialogue and a discussion about this is the kind of programming, and let's all talk about how we do this, and let's talk about that. But to this day, I really think most people don't even actually know what it is they're going for at the final analysis, and that does make it kind of hard to have a dialogue, I think.
Well, this is Dan Siegel. I'd like to add to that. Mm-hmm. In my view, the discussion of what kind of programming should take place on Pacifica is a legitimate discussion, and there's no doubt that changes need to be made. But the question for us in this lawsuit is who's going to make that decision when the board has basically put itself beyond accountability so it can lock itself up in a closet somewhere, not discuss these things with the public, not involve the staff or volunteers in making decisions. That's a fundamental lack of democracy. I haven't seen anything that looks like a plan for changing programming. What I do see is an effort to consolidate authority and the exclusion of anyone, including people whom everyone acknowledges as excellent journalists, from the Pacifica airwaves at this point.
Laura, I want to thank you very much for the call. Thank you for joining our broadcast. I have on the line Michael from Oakland. Welcome to the Nobody Show.
Thank you. I'd like to discuss very briefly motives, who benefits from this coup, and who's been hurt by the things that they've changed. I don't think it's sufficient to explain it as the benefit accruing to a clique or to the CPB or to Washington insiders, and certainly not Republican Party people. The people most hurt by KPFA and Pacifica programming over the last several years has been the Democratic Party. They are the people who have lost the most votes as a result of this. I'll add a couple of more points here and just leave it for people to
discuss. Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Make your points.
Mary Frances Berry is a Clinton appointee. Everyone knows that. Many on the board, certainly her closest people, are Democratic fat cats, people who have been given a lot of money to the Democratic Party. Perhaps the most telling smoking gun in all of this is the call that received by the Berkeley chief of police from the official in the Justice Department responsible for funding local police departments. That followed the local PD's genteel, shall we say, handling of arrests at Pacifica. And finally, the last point I want to make is that there's been a ban, whether it's been spoken or not, on criticism of Democrats, and particularly on the ability of people who are in a position to take votes away from the Democratic Party during political campaigns, generally have had a hard time getting airtime on Pacific, on KPFA, and I presume other Pacifica stations. My bad guy in all of this is the Democratic Party, and I'll be happy.
Can I just butt in for a second?
Yes, but let me thank you very much, Michael, for the call, and we'll answer you on the air.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
This is Colin, by the way. I just remember hearing a little bit earlier in the program someone mentioning that the there was a similar rule about the Republican Party when the Republican Party was in power. Not bad-mouthing them, so I'm not sure if I can believe that it's one specific party that is.
So you're saying that you haven't had enough proof of this, if there's any conspiracy here or any political influence. Dan, let me move to you. Is there any proof, or is this just speculation?
Well, you know, I haven't seen anything yet that would pass as evidence in a court of law, but clearly the direction that some of the leadership in Pacifica is taking is consistent with what the caller suggested. I'm not sure myself. I haven't reached a conclusion as to what is motivating these people. Sometimes I think it's just the pig-headedness of people who think they have a right idea and conclude that any means justify putting that idea into practice.
You know, there was an old saying, is just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people aren't out to get you. And I think in this case, you know, we do know, I mean, this isn't a matter of historical record. There was this COINTELPRO-ORG thing. They were disrupting the civil rights movement, disrupting the anti-war movement during the anti-Vietnam demonstrations. So does the government do these kinds of things? Yes, we know they do. They went to Columbia Records and told Columbia Records to withdraw all of its advertising from the underground press in the 60s, and they did. The FBI went to them. This is all a matter of historical record. But right now, Dan, what you're saying is the proof of whether or not it's happening today, it's not there.
Sure. I guess the other thing I would just throw into the mix, though, is you're looking this week at the controversy in Congress over CPB funding of KQED television in San Francisco. And some of the Republican members of the Senate are complaining because KQED shared some of its mailing lists with the Democratic Party. So if someone wants evidence of the fact that political decisions are behind these apparently administrative measures, there's plenty of it.
Okay. Those numbers to call in again here on the Nobody Show, our special emergency edition on the crisis at Pacifica, it's 800-213-WEOS, 800-213-WEOS. Beverly from Petaluma, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Hi. First of all, I think this is, in a way, it's a marvelous thing that's happened. It's pulled so many people together. Secondly, I wanted to remind everyone who's listening to write and call all your elected officials, newspapers, radio, and TV. Third, let's stop giving money to Pacifica. I'm going to cut off my electronic funds transfer to them. And lastly,
turn your radio down if you can.
I didn't even think you could hear it. Okay, I'll keep going away from it. And to take that money and contribute at least some of it to your local stations that are carrying this programming. The thing I wanted to ask that's a legal question is, I had this idea that it would make sense to sue each individual member of the Pacifica board in small claims court by every subscriber and sue them for the maximum, because not only are we losing the money that we subscribed, but we are losing something that's priceless, which is this information. So I wanted to hear what the what
Dan
Mr. Siegel,
Siegel
the, has to
yeah,
say. Yeah,
okay. Thank you very much for the call, Beverly.
Thank you.
Dan, suing them individually, what do you think?
Well, we have sued them individually in the lawsuit. Obviously, people have the right to pursue other claims against them. One thing I would like to point out, though, is that all of the people on the national board are not enemies of what we're trying to do. In fact, one of the reasons that I'm optimistic about a successful outcome of this whole struggle is that it looks like the national board includes several people who are very sympathetic to those of us who are fighting to maintain democracy in the Pacifica structure and fighting to maintain a progressive, diverse stream of programming on the Pacifica stations. So I wouldn't look at all the national board members as real enemies.
Let me ask you a question of Colin and also of Doug here. Colin, when you sent your memo about you might have to reconsider carrying Pacifica programming, did you get a response from Pacifica?
From Pacifica, let's see here. I don't believe we got anything directly from them. We did get a lot of an amazing amount of email from listeners in both that area and this area. I did get an actual email from Ilan Fabry, surprisingly enough.
And what did it say?
It said, I'm aware that you have been attempting to contact me because I wasn't able to find her email. I put a little trailer on the end of my email saying, gee, it would be nice if someone had forwarded this to her or give me her email address. And I think she's probably getting flooded with it at this point.
But at this point, you haven't actually... you are a station, an affiliate. People would, like, just like this is a national broadcast, you'd think maybe they'd pay attention to that. You're an affiliate saying we're about to drop your programming if you don't do something to talk to us about this, and you have not gotten any official response back. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And, Doug, what about you? You're...
Well, when this all came down, I fired off some email messages to Marion Frances Berry and to Lynn Chadwick, and I gave them both all of my telephone numbers. I got an email response back automated from Barry's domain or wherever she's located saying she's not receiving an email. And on Monday afternoon, I was on jury duty, and as I was leaving the courthouse, I got a message from my office that Ms. Chadwick had called, and I was able to contact her. And we talked for about 5 minutes. She was very, obviously, sounded to me as a woman who was under a lot of stress, which is
hardly
understandable under the circumstances. I told her that we were very disturbed and unhappy about the situation, and I was particularly unhappy that we had not been consulted before all of this, considering, one, the proximity of our signal to the KPFA signal and the fact that we almost overlap and we really do cover a third of the state. I expected, a little bit more responsiveness. And that I was extremely unhappy about the email from that we had received, the copy of the email from Michael Palmer, and Ms. Chadwick almost leapt through the telephone lines to disavow that email.
But it seems to have been confirmed as authentic.
Well, I think it was an authentic email, but she essentially confirmed that the email was sent. But she said that, in her words, Mr. Palmer was a loose cannon on the board, that Dr. Berry had made public announcements that KPFA was not for sale, and she was pretty intense about that. That's fine, except that the press release that Ms. Fabry released on Wednesday, indicating that, words to the effect that the what's on the current Pacifica programming was the freshest air she'd heard on KPFA in many years, sort of belied the statement that Ms. Chadwick made to me that the station was not for sale and everything was going to be hunky-dory. She also mentioned that the management was prepared to mediate, and mediation could occur at any time. She said that there was not a management lockout, that, in fact, the staff was being paid their salaries, and that the real concern was a physical concern in that there had been bomb threats on the building, and she was not going to allow staff back in the building as long as there was any concern for the physical safety of people inside the building. I told her, I just kept reiterating that we're deeply concerned about the problem. There are a lot of upset people down here in Fresno, and that I urge her to resolve this problem as quickly as possible, and please keep me informed as to developments so that I could advise my board. And I told her, we're operating under a lot of misapprehension down here.
But since then, you haven't heard from her.
and we don't have a lot of information, and we're going to make the decisions as best we can with the information we have. And if we don't have the good information, we're not going to make good decisions.
Well, you'd think they could get the information out. For goodness sake, they're running a radio network, you know?
Well,
all right, listen, we're out of time for this segment, so let me ask the three of you for a final comment on where we go from here or any information you want people to know. Dan, we'll start with you. We only got 10 seconds, 20 seconds each.
Well, we want support for this lawsuit. We're asking people to send contributions to Siegel and Yee at 499 14th Street, number 220, Oakland 94612. And we are working with other lawyers in the National Lawyers Guild and elsewhere to develop other legal tactics to use in this dispute.
In Fresno, we are proceeding with our own programming from a variety of other sources. If KPFA comes back on the air with its original programming, then we will reconsider our options. But right now, it is the position of the Board of Directors of the Fresno Free College Foundation that the programming that is being broadcast is not KPFA programming. Pacifica is in breach of contract with its agreements with the Fresno Free College Foundation, and we are going on our own way.
Colin?
Okay, two things. First, WRPI is a small station. If you're a large station, for all means, throw your weight behind this thing, because they're not going to miss the money that's coming from us. Second thing, if you are suing, figure out what you're suing for first. Don't just sue them for money, because that's not going to solve a damn thing.
Okay, well, let me give my thanks to all three of you for your participation in this broadcast, and I am very much appreciated. Good talking to you all.
All right, nobody.
Thanks, nobody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a 30-second break to allow stations to give whatever messages they have, and I'll be back.
You poor take courage, you rich take care. This earth was made a common treasury for everyone to share. All things in common, all people one. We come in peace, the orders came to cut them down.
We come in peace, the orders came to cut them down.
Okay, maybe that wasn't 30 seconds, but who's counting? All right, this is the half hour of the broadcast that was left for Mary Frances Berry or Lynn Chadwick to appear on the air. I said I'd leave it up until the last minute, but this is past the last minute. But I do have on the line some, we're going to take calls, and I have Andrea Buffa on the line, and she is with the Media Alliance. Andrea, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Hey there.
Hi, Andrea, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You are at a demonstration. What is this demonstration?
This is a demonstration to get KPFA back for our community, and people in the San Francisco Bay Area are really coming together and demanding that Pacifica stop escalating the situation. Just today, more people were arrested out in front of KPFA. One of the young leaders and organizers of this, Khalil Jacobs Fantauzi, who is a local advisory board member, was roughed up by the police today and taken to Santa Rita, which is our county jail that's, you know, way far away from Berkeley. We had to bail him out, and he's still not back here yet. So people are really, really upset that Pacifica keeps saying that they want to mediate, but every day they escalate the situation more and more.
And how many people are at the demonstration, Andrea?
We have about a group of 300 right now, and we're at a subway station, so more and more people are coming out of the subway, and they're coming up in their cars.
And what is the, when you look around at the demonstration, do you see only effete white intellectuals over 50?
Absolutely not. I see a really diverse crowd. Leading this protest right now, talking, is Van Jones, who is a young African-American leader. He's the executive director of the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights. And a person who's about to speak is Jay Imani. He's also a young African-American man who is on the local advisory board. You know, the whole crowd, it's really a diverse community that's coming around this. Because we know how important free speech is, because we know that Pacifica is really the only progressive, independent radio network in the United States, and we realize how important it is that all of our voices can stay on the air on KPFA and on the other Pacifica stations.
All right, Andrea, are you going to be able to hear me now as I take calls on the air? Will you be able to hear the broadcast? You're going to stay on with us with a cell phone?
Yeah.
And will you be able to bring us? We will be happy to hear voices from demonstrators as well. But hang on, I'm going to take some calls, okay?
Great.
All right. Arla from San Francisco, welcome to the Nobody Show. Arla, are you there?
Oh, yes. Sorry, I didn't hear you say my name.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you so much for this forum. It's so important because our usual forum of KPFA has been stolen from us, at least temporarily. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I wish we could cover everything. We're just going to get a smattering today, but we'll do the best we can.
Okay. And I unfortunately was back east for the last 2 weeks. I had some really difficult family business to take care of, and while I was there, I was thinking I might have to move there, and I thought, no, I can't live somewhere where I can't hear KPFA, only to come back late last night to find out I do live somewhere where I can't hear KPFA, so I'm just sick about it. So I'm glad.
But you want to say, Arlo, one thing, it's an important point. This is really meaningful to you. This isn't some abstract issue to you.
No,
this is in your gut. You care about this.
That's very true, and I just am sick about it because it's how I know what's really going on. You don't hear it anywhere else. So I'm glad to hear Dan Siegel's optimism about the lawsuit, and I wanted to ask, and now you don't have him on there, but I wanted to ask, before I went away, I thought I heard something about the union filing an unfair labor practice charge, and I just wondered if that's true and where that's going. And
Andrea, do you have anything to say about that?
Can you say that again about what charge?
An unfair labor practices charge.
Quite a while ago, the union had an unfair labor practices charge around the armed guards being installed in the station and some other issues. And I'm not sure where that's at right now.
I can tell you, though, that in New York and WBAI, there was the NLRB ruled in favor of the union against management, and management is appealing that in court, but management was trying to dictate who could be in the union, and they lost at the National Labor Relations Board. So these issues have come up, and management so far hasn't been doing well in the courts, but we're still at an early stage. Anyway, I want to thank you very much for the call, and Arla, and I'm glad you're listening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you too. Bye.
Bye. Okay, on the line now, I have Mark from San Francisco. Welcome to the Nobody Show, Mark.
Yes, hi. I'm glad you're there.
Thanks.
And I would like to speak for the people who listen to KPFA for cultural programming and the issue of diversity. Over a year ago, two of the sort of grandfathers of important roots music were kicked out. They weren't fired, they were just kicked out, supposedly in favor of diversity. But these are people who have been raising people's consciousness about music, in completely diverse music, for 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you say those shows were ossified and boring from your point of view?
Hardly. They, in fact, have inspired, you know, the incredible consciousness that there is, not only among people who are white, but in communities of color, of roots music. And, you know, if the fact was that they wanted to create diversity, the way you do that is not by dissing and insulting elders.
Okay, Mark, let me thank you very much for your comments. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea?
If it's okay, I'd like to put on one of the KPFA programmers.
Please do.
Okay, it's Walter Turner. His show is Africa Today.
Okay. Hello, Walter?
Yeah.
Walter, welcome to the Nobody Show. Can you hear me, Walter? We don't have Walter, so I'm going to take another call for the time being. We'll see if in the studio we can get Walter back and see what's happening. Katya from Richmond. I'm not sure where. Richmond is at California. Welcome to the Nobody Show. Katya?
Hello.
Hello, Katya.
Yeah, I'm the handicapped senior citizen who was assaulted by the police on the evening of Tuesday the 13th.
Do you want to tell your story?
They're trying to suppress the information.
What happened?
Well, I just wanted to see what was going on because I knew the station was yanked off the air, so I parked in the handicapped spot by Bonita and Berkeley Way, and then I walked down. And I tried to go to the front of the building, but there was this line of policemen that wouldn't let anybody pass. So I saw a few people that I recognized and started talking with them, and I took what I thought was a safe position next to a parked car behind a garbage dumpster. And then the police took the garbage dumpster and wheeled it in the middle of the street. And I had this throat thing for about a month, and I was actually digging in my purse for a cough drop when they attacked us. And they were taking bodies and throwing them on top of other bodies, using human beings as guided missiles. And I was slammed to the pavement. Now, I have glasses and a cane. I was slammed to the pavement. It took all my strength to keep my brains from being dashed out on the sidewalk, and three large men were thrown on top of me.
Well, first of all, may I say, Katya, I'm very sorry this happened to you. And this happened to you simply because you wanted to observe a demonstration in favor of free speech.
I wanted to go to the front and listen to the speeches, but they wouldn't let me pass. I wanted to know what was going on. And because the station was off the air, I had no way of getting any information.
Katya, I want to thank you for sharing this story. I think that's very indicative of, I think this will give people a pretty good picture of what's going on.
They wouldn't let me go back to my car to lie down. I had to wander around till midnight.
Katya, were you there? Were you there ready?
I have a sprained leg, a sprained arm, and a dislocated clavicle. And what I want is anybody that witnessed the event to, could they write to my box and anybody else that might have been injured in the event. We need a pit bull of a lawyer because I really want to fight this.
All right. Well, maybe you can be in touch with Dan Siegel because that would be a good place to go for all the complaints. But I want to, and maybe they can help to gather some witnesses. And if there are any witnesses, maybe they can contact Dan Siegel. We'll try and make that a little networking thing, and we'll go on beyond that.
Okay,
Katya, thank you very much.
If you're a serial killer, you get a trial by jury and appeals. If you're just standing on the sidewalk, you get a death sentence.
It's just an indication of how wildly out of hand this is. I want to thank you very much for the call.
Thank you for listening.
Andrea, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Do we have somebody to talk to there now?
Yeah, I'm going to try to put Walter Turner on again from Africa Today. Here he is.
Okay, thanks. Walter, are you there? Walter. Walter. Every time we go to Walter, we lose Walter. Walter, are you there? I don't know. I don't know why we can't get Walter, but I'm not speculating about whether or not it's a CIA conspiracy. We do have it's a difficult technical thing, so anyway, we'll try and... Karen, let me give you out some information. First of all, if you're listening and you've got your pencils out, here are a couple of websites. I'll give you three. www.savepacifica, all one word, savepacifica.net, www.savepacifica.net, or you can go to www.radioforall, and the four is the digit four, www.radioforall.org/FreePacifica, one word. Free Pacifica is one word, or www.wbai.net. The New York hotline number for Save Our Station is 212-465-7562, 212-465-7562. Or for the KPFA hotline put out by the First Amendment Center, it's 510-287-9406, 510-287-9406. Remember, we're not going to get through nearly all the information in this broadcast, so I hope people will follow up. And also try to listen to the issue, the edition of Making Contact, which will be a joint project of the National Radio Project and the Institute for Public Accuracy, that will be airing on July 26th or after on your stations. And stations that are interested in obtaining that broadcast should call 800-529-5736, 800-529-5736. Okay, I'm told Andrea is back.
Hi.
Hi. Well, can we do this? What are we going to do here?
Oh, it's just that we're not really used to cell phones, but we've been forced to use them because of the current circumstances. So I'm going to tell you about some of the things that Walter said.
Okay.
He said the really important... Is that okay?
Yes, please.
Yeah, he said the really important thing is that we get the voices out on the air, the voices of Mumia Abu-Jamal, of Leonard Peltier... voices of people telling us what's really going on in Indonesia, and this is going to be a protracted battle, and we realize how significant that is to keep those dissenting voices on the air.
Okay. What is the Media Alliance? Why don't you tell people that, Andrea?
Media Alliance is a 22-year-old nonprofit media accountability organization, and our mission is to increase the diversity of voices and perspectives that are available in the media. We actually want to increase it. We don't want to have to fight back more attacks on the diversity of voices and perspectives in the media.
But you're not directly an arm of the protesters. You're an independent organization, and you've joined this cause because you believe in it. Is that correct?
Right. We're a nonprofit organization that comes to the aid of media workers at a situation where media workers, you know, they've been under attack both by armed guards, they've been arrested, they've been censored. And so that's why Media Alliance got into this whole thing. And now Media Alliance is getting together community forces, and we're coming together around our own community demands. Mm-hmm. And some of our demands are for the resignation of the Pacifica Foundation leadership. That means the executive committee of the board of directors and the executive director. And the reason is that these people have just discredited themselves so much by their actions
that the community can't imagine a resolution to the crisis while they are still in power. Mm-hmm. So we're coming around, coming together around the demand for resignation. We're also coming together around the demand for democratization. We can't come out of this without structural changes to the Pacifica Foundation. We need a board that's democratically elected and accountable to the local community. So we're calling also for democratization. We're calling for restoration, meaning all the staff that's been fired or disciplined since Pacifica began the censorship campaign, that all the charges against the dozens of free speech protesters be dropped, and that there be an immediate resumption of uncensored local programming. And finally, the community is coming together on transformation, because when we get our station back and when we get the whole Pacifica network back, we want to make it a better station than it ever was before. We want to have more exciting, vibrant programming. We want to have more of a diversity of programming, and we want it to be even more relevant to our communities.
Well, from what I'm hearing in the background, if they ever do get back on the air, those Pacifica programmers out there at KPFK are going to be plenty energized from this experience. It sounds really terrific in the background.
It's been really impressive how much people are coming together, and under incredible circumstances, even at 4 o'clock in the morning, when we're deprived of sleep and we don't know each other that well, we've always responded totally peacefully and just been really incredibly disciplined, and I'm proud that everyone's come together this way.
Okay, Andrew, I hope you can stay on the line. Maybe get us another person from the march if we can possibly be able to do it.
Okay, and hopefully we won't get cut off this time.
And I'm going to take a call in the meantime, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Carolyn from Berkeley, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Hello?
Yes, hello, Carolyn. Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, I am a member of the faith-based peace and justice community, and I help to organize demonstrations on a variety of different issues, including the sanctions against Iraq, and KPFA is the only station that covers these issues, and we cannot let it be destroyed by this or any other underhanded methods that might possibly come down the pike. What I would like to know is a couple of things. What type of cops was it that broke up the picket line that allowed the our transmitter to be taken over by the by a direct broadcast from Los Angeles? What jurisdiction? I think we need to, as citizens, talk to our elected officials and unelect anybody that was a hand in this.
Andrea, do you know who the cops were who did that? Those were real cops, not rent-a-cops, right?
This is, how did they get through the transmitter?
Who were the cops who broke up the camp? Were they real cops, not rent-a-cops?
Were they Berkeley cops, Oakland cops, Park
cops? They were Berkeley cops. And when this happened, I was calling the Berkeley mayor and saying, you don't have to do this to us. You don't have to come after us at 4 o'clock in the morning every time. We're reasonable people. We can talk about our campsite. Why do you keep doing this? So I hold the Berkeley mayor accountable for letting this happen, and she really needs to come onto the side of the KPFA community.
The Berkeley mayor's office claims that this, since the transmitter isn't in Berkeley, it wasn't really them. I think we've got to make them come clean. Also,
okay, I'm sorry. The transmitter, it was the East Bay Park Police that went through the picket line, and they escorted Pacific Bell, either a manager or a consultant, in there so that they could install the ISDN line.
But you've had trouble with the Berkeley police, too.
That's quite clear. I saw them being troublesome that Tuesday night a week ago. I was up there, too. As soon as they shut off the news, I thought, uh-oh, here we go. So I would also like to encourage the increased democratization of the whole KPFA system. When Nicole Soraya came on, I could see an increased openness and accessibility of KPFA to discuss possible different programs. And so, you know, hooray for her. Let's get her back. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Carolyn. I did ask Nicole Sawaya onto this broadcast, by the way. She's just not ready to talk publicly about this, which was a very difficult experience for her, as she explained it to me, and I hope she will in the future. Jean from Ithaca, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Hello. I have a question that deals with an issue that hasn't been brought up so far as I've heard this evening.
Please.
How much do you think this has to do with the coming FCC handout to existing stations of increased frequency in the move to that's similar to what's going on in TV now with the high definition television? And
this is an interesting and a good question, and I'd like
does the ownership is a crucial thing in that, the ownership of the network? In other words, does the board, then the management, get complete control over what additional frequency bands are handed out.
Okay, let me. I can't answer this definitively, but I can give you some background on this. First of all, as they said at Watergate, follow the money. This all starts with money. There was revenue has come into radio from new sources. There are two side bands. It's a technical thing on your radio signal. And it became possible to sell that programming separate from the normal signal. And that money at Pacifica went into the Central Pacifica organization, and that's what made them more powerful. Now, with the switch over to digital broadcasting, yet more frequencies may become available to the existing license holders, which means there'll be another pot of gold. So there's no question there's a pot of money here. And if anybody thinks money drives people mad, you can be sure there's a pot of money here. Andrea, do you have any comment on this issue?
No, I don't have any additional comments, but I do have other folks in the crowd.
Please, thank you very much, Jean, for the call and for raising that excellent point. Thank you.
So I have James Tracy. He works with an organization called the Eviction Defense Network. They work on low-income housing issues, and he can talk about why this is important from the perspective of someone who is working on housing rights issues.
Okay, let's hear it. James, are you there? Welcome to the Nobody Show, James.
Thank you.
What's this got to do with low-income housing evictions?
Well, our organization and the organizations we've worked with have gone on various shows to bring perspectives that and bring tenants that would not be on any other radio station and be able to use it as a way of organizing towards saving people's housing. And it gets the word out quicker than anything, and they wouldn't invite us on KGO for that type of stuff.
So may we say then that this is an important point, that when we talk about people being hurt and disenfranchised by the loss of the Pacifica station in Berkeley, we're talking about poor people being hurt.
Exactly. Definitely. Poor people and anybody with any kind of perspective outside of the mainstream media.
And would you say there are other organizations working with poor people that are equally up in arms as you are?
Yeah, definitely. We see people from the Coalition on Homelessness out here. We see people from Cop Watch out here. We see people from Storm standing together organizing a revolutionary movement. We see labor unions out here. Just about everybody's out here equally outraged.
All right. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us.
No problem.
Good talking to you.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to take a call from Andrea.
Hi.
Hi, Andrea. You there?
Yeah, I am.
Andrea, I'm taking a call from Patty from Ukiah, and then I'll go back to if you have another demonstrator, okay?
Okay, great.
Patty from Ukiah, welcome to the Nobody Show.
Hi, thanks for having this show. To me, it sounds more like the Everybody Show.
Well, so far I've been very pleased with the participation. What's on your mind, Patty?
I'm just absolutely horrified by what is going on, by what the Pacifica Board has done at KPFA. And the idea of, you know, the leak or missent email that was sent to Andrea, it seems almost like it was a diversion of some sort. And although I don't know how there could be any more diversions going on, I'm curious what you know about what the other Pacifica stations are doing, what they know, and what's going on there.
I don't think I really should comment on that. I know there's dissatisfaction at some of them. I know some of them are more, pardon the pun, Pacific about this issue. But, you know, I just don't know enough, and it's too much is happening too quickly. I don't think I want to comment on that. They'll make themselves known as they start demonstrating. But I know they're starting to demonstrate in New York now. They just had their first demonstration in New York City on Friday, and I think they have another one scheduled on Friday, and I'm sorry I can't tell you the address.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really, really appreciate this opportunity.
And thank you very much for being on the show. Andrea, you got somebody else for us?
Hi. Yeah, I have Rachel Jackson, and she's wearing armbands, so it seems like she's one of the organizers of this demonstration.
Okay. Rachel Jackson, are you there?
Hi, yes.
Hi, welcome to the Nobody Show. What do you want to tell the people who are listening?
Thanks. Well, I want to tell people, first of all, to, whenever possible, as soon as possible, to get out to KPFA, come out to any of the events that are going on, and support KPFA in this fight, because while negotiations may be starting soon, if there is not a powerful grassroots movement behind those negotiations, we are not going to see a good outcome.
Okay, and do you know of any upcoming events you can tell people about?
Yeah, there are a couple of events upcoming. Well, one is going on right now, and there is going to be an interfaith ceremony at KPFA at 7 p.m. tonight. There is a hip-hop show at La Peña in Berkeley at 8 p.m. tonight. And the really big mobilization that we're looking at this point is going to be on July 31st. and I believe that's going to be at Mosswood Park at noon on July 31st. For
all
more
right.
information, though, I can also give a phone number where people can call.
Sock it to me.
Okay, that telephone number is 510-321-4267.
510-321-4267?
Right. Another number is 415-546-6334.
Okay, we're running out of time. I want to thank you very much. Thank you for organizing the demonstration, and thank you very
Great.
Much for being my guest.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, listen, let me make a point to the people listening all over this country to this broadcast. It's really a crucial point. If you have not been hearing the side of management on this show, it is not because management was not invited. Speaker after speaker has told you we can't get responses from management. I tried and I tried to get Mary Berry. I tried to get Phyllis Chadwick. I tried to get Lynn Chadwick. I tried to get a board member. None of them would even respond, much less appear. So I really want people out there to understand that this was an honest and sincere attempt to give them an opportunity to state their case. They chose not to take that opportunity. All right, I've got very, very little time. I'll take one more call very quickly. Bob from California, welcome to the Nobody Show. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'd like to give a phone number. It's Citizens for Independent Public Broadcasting, 412-341-1967. Also, I've been a subscriber to KPFA for about 25 years, and I'm outraged that my station is being taken over. And I wonder if there's any truth to the rumor that Lynn Chadwick once worked for Voice of America. And also, I'd like to call on all organizations, the Quaker Church and the Quaker Meeting, which is instrumental in starting KPFA, to support the struggle at KPFA, all those other people.
Okay, I'm out of time. I'm sorry to cut you off, but
okay.
I want to thank you for the comments and for the call.
Okay.
Good talking to you. Andrea, you got a last comment you want to make?
I want to encourage people throughout the United States not to let Northern California be isolated. Everyone who cares about free speech and who knows that censorship is unacceptable in this country needs to fax and email and phone this board of directors and political leaders to make sure that we keep the Pacifica Network for the community.
All right, Andrea, I can't thank you enough. The audio of listening to that demonstration and the spirit of it comes through the lines, and it's so wonderful to hear it, and it's so wonderful that you were there to do it and to get us some people from the demonstration. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Good talking to you. All right, this really, really wraps up the broadcast. We're down to 1 minute, which is all I've really got time to do is say some thank yous, and maybe I'll be able to get a phone number in. I want to say thank you very much to the stations that are carrying this broadcast. I want to thank very much the programmers who gave up their slots to make it possible. I want to thank Hobart and William Smith Colleges, which own this station, my engineer, who is my son, Michael, my producer, Lynn Gary, a great big thank you, my station manager, Mike Black. I want to extend my heartfelt thanks to the courageous broadcasters at Pacifica and their supporters, who are defending free speech and the people's right to know. And even though you've never heard me, many of you before, I want you to know I always end my show with a paraphrase of a quote from Ben Gurion, and it never may have been more appropriate. We can take back the airwaves. We can have free speech in this country. It's got to be possible, because if you don't believe in miracles, you're not a realist. I'm nobody. Good night.
You won't take no worry.
You have been listening to a special edition of The Nobody Show, your unabashed voice of the left and left out, produced in conjunction with WEOS Geneva, New York, the radio station of Hobart and William Smith Colleges. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of Hobart and William Smith Colleges. Tapes of this broadcast may be purchased by sending $10 to The Nobody Show, PMB 92, 322 Pine Tree Road, Ithaca, New York, 14850-2819. Nobody may also be contacted at radio@lightlink.com.